Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 33 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Christy Hamilton of Benalds, a small business automation consultancy and Infusionsoft partner, providing training to Infusionsoft's customers in Australia, as well as selling Infusionsoft directly to small businesses across Asia Pacific. In 2014, Benalds were the fastest growing Infusionsoft partner in the world. I've been looking forward to this episode for some time, and I certainly wasn't disappointed. Christy is very passionate about helping businesses achieve success through marketing automation and streamlined processes, and she pulls no punches in this interview. We talked about processes, about Infusionsoft, of course, about surrounding yourself with exceptional people, the cloud, picking a niche, and much more. This podcast is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we partner with innovative business owners to transform your online presence into a business generation platform that delivers exceptional results. If you want to learn more, then go to innovabiz.com.au or contact me directly through the contact information there. Now, let's get into the innovation hive and get the buzz from Christy Hamilton.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me on today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Sydney in Australia, Christy Hamilton from Benalds, the small business automation experts. Welcome, Christy. It's a privilege to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Jürgen. It's great to actually finally be on it.
Yeah. Now, you're here because David Heatley suggested we invite you, David from Cycling Inform, so a big shout out to David.
Yeah, he's done very well lately. He just won Online Sales of the Year from Infusionsoft over at Icon in Arizona a couple of weeks ago. So he's doing very well.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you post that on Facebook and I thought that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of hard work at his end to execute all of the strategy. So he's done very, very well.
Yeah, and for listeners that haven't heard the podcast episode where we interviewed David, that's well worth listening to because he's got an awesome business model. Now, Benalds is a small automation business consultancy that is also an Infusionsoft partner, and you provide training to Infusionsoft customers as well as setting up Infusionsoft and selling Infusionsoft. And in 2014, you were the fastest growing Infusionsoft partner worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. We're actually exclusively an Infusionsoft consultancy. The only thing that we consult in is Infusionsoft and its peripherals, so membership site platforms like iMember360 and integrations with things like Xero and other cloud apps. But we more and more as time went on, we found that we did less generic business process automation and more specific, more niched Infusionsoft delivery. And now we have one of the biggest Infusionsoft consultancies in Asia Pac. And have some really fantastic contracts with Infusionsoft to handle their local customers here in Australia. So it's kind of been a wild ride and great fun.
Yeah, sounds like it. So anyway, before we get on to all those fancy marketing automation things that Infusionsoft can do, let's find out a little bit more about your background and person. So I saw you had a career in pharmaceuticals, but before that even, what ambitions did you have when you were a young child?
Well, when I was a kid, I was a tomboy. I still am, and I wanted to be very specifically, I wanted to be a project manager for Himalayan mountaineering expeditions. And I think at quite a few points, I wanted to be a pilot and an astronaut. I used to be very jealous of my American cousins that got to go to space camp. So I always wanted to do interesting and exciting things, and I never quite wanted to, just have a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I just trying to think. I think somebody else on the podcast, but I can't think who now, wanted to be an astronaut when they grew up. I think
it must be the kids of the 80s.
Yeah. I think that was, I kind of went through a phase, but I don't think it was really strong drive. It was, I always wanted to be an astronomer.
I could absolutely understand that too.
Yeah. And so what led you into the pharmaceutical industry then?
Well, my mother was one of the first MBAs in Australia, female MBAs, and my father had a software company. So growing up, my mother certainly taught my sister and I fierce independence, and I think between that and probably being one of the first kids to have access to computers in my generation, have my own generation, I sort of landed in a software kind of world. But when I went to university, I decided that I was going to pursue science and engineering. So I think probably just to do something different from, you know, the software that my family had done. So I went into, I ended up with a neuroscience psychology degree and went into project managing clinical research in Asia Pac. But after 7 or 8 years of doing that, I got frustrated with being a very, very small wheel in a big process. And I thought that there might be better ways to do things. So I started my first business, and no surprises, as I'm sure people on the podcast would be used to, we just bombed. We ran through a lot of money and we didn't get anywhere. And it was only because I picked up some work on the side to make ends meet that I fell back into IT, because it was something that I could do that was very easy to do that wasn't in pharmaceuticals and didn't constitute a commercial conflict of interest. But one day we kind of looked at each other and my partner and I went, hang on a second, you know, work is falling out of the sky and we're getting great successes for our customers and everyone's really happy. Why are we flogging the dead horse of the first business? So we sort of went, you know, it was more that the business happened to us in the early days than we ever intentionally went around becoming a small business automation consultancy. Okay. Sort of like, yeah. I have no idea how we got here. I feel like it was just a series of events.
Yeah, and did Infusionsoft come into that early on, or did that sort of happen later?
Really early on, actually. Our first client had been through the business program, Business Blueprint, and she actually became my client simply because she'd put an ad in Gumtree looking for someone to help with Gmail implementation. And I thought, oh, I can do that. I'll go and work for this person for a day and work out how to do it. But in sitting in front of this woman who was very, very, very switched on and business savvy, she realized that I could help her implement a bunch of things she'd learned about but didn't understand how to actually get live. So I was fortunate to work for her. Between the two of us, we looked at Entreport and we looked at Infusionsoft. We actually started with Entreport and decided that it wasn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. So she bought Infusionsoft on my recommendation and sent me to an Infusionsoft university 3.5 years ago. And it was there that I realized that there was this whole world. I'd grown up in a custom software house, and all of a sudden, the stuff that was a six-figure job for a medium or enterprise business was now accessible to, you know, the people like David Healy, who are fundamentally living with their wife in the country with a dog and, you know, in his instance, coaching hundreds of cyclists around the world. So I think that moment of being at Infusionsoft University made me go, wow, like this is the crest of the wave. And what I felt, I remember really clearly sitting in that room at that time and thinking, because this is 2012, 2013, thinking what's happening to these service-based businesses with tools like Infusionsoft is the same as the e-commerce wave in 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. And the businesses that adopt this automation will be able to get margins that their competitors could not dream about. And in the same way that the local bike shop down the road that went online and became Chain Reaction or became Wiggle is now a completely different business, and the bike shop down the road that didn't is going broke slowly, it's exactly the same thing, but in service businesses, because the software is now facilitating complete shift. And I remember sitting in that room thinking, I just want to be part of this. I just want to get involved in it. So, and actually in that room, there are a couple of people, and that was before I was certified or before Benelli's existed, that basically sort of chased me around the room and said, you know, I want you to come and, you know, you obviously know what's going on. I want you to come work for me. So we sort of went from one client to a handful of clients, and 4 months later we were doing, you know, $30,000 months of billable. So it was really, really quick. But I remember sitting in that room and just going, I can see the next wave of the internet and IT tools for business. And this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. What was the question?
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah.
I think it was how did you get into Infusionsoft, or when did that happen in launching your business? So it is fascinating, though. You know, I'm doing some work for a few clients where Infusionsoft's involved, and we're working with Infusionsoft partners to get, you know, that side of it up and running. But we're doing the integration with websites and so on. And it's just fascinating what you can do with that. And I'm kind of a bit jealous because I've got my own account, but I just don't have time to get into that and do some more with that. But it's very powerful. And like you say, it's the difference between like the bike shop that's got a physical store and the ones that are online who are just cleaning up right now.
And it's because it really is because they chose to do it 10 years ago.
Mm.
I when I was in uni, 2001, I was working part-time in a mountaineering equipment shop, and I ended up building a website for them. And that shop now is one of the biggest online retailers in Australia. Now, full disclosure, the website we built was incredibly clunky. It was just a cash job for a uni student at the time. But what happened in them doing that was they were there in the early days, and they got the leap on all their competitors. And it's exactly the same thing that's happening now. I see accountancy firms who are offshoring with really high quality because they've got systems and processes, and there's just no way that the accountant down the road can compete. But there's also nothing stopping the accountant down the road from taking that leap of faith and investing in the innovation.
Yeah, that's right. So they've just got to understand that. But it never ceases to amaze me, though, that you know, there are a lot of businesses around, quite successful businesses too, that sort of run by, you know, the older business models, that don't understand the importance of processes and having documented processes for everything they do. And, you know, to get them beyond that stage then and actually start automating some processes is kind of really difficult.
It's very difficult. Yeah. And it's actually, I don't think it's an exercise in software. It's an exercise in change management and accountability. Mm. Because I think a lot of people read the E-Myth and they go, that's great. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hire someone to solve this problem for me. But they realize that as much as they're fundamentally the business right now, that means that no consultant can extract the business from their head, that they need to really get their hands dirty in doing it. And the greatest
That's
success I see is with, you know, we used to do a lot of, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 implementations of Infusionsoft for established businesses. Not that the small and newer guys, it wasn't so complex. But what we realized is that we're much better to empower the business owner and his offsider to understand the platform and want to do it themselves, rather than kind of spoon feeding them, because it doesn't work.
Mm. Yeah. That's right.
I'd love to take money from people and build stuff for them, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, anyway. It's not sustainable for that business, is it?
No, absolutely not. Mm. And you know, forgetting the consulting fees, of course, which is another problem again. So, mm. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. One idea that somebody suggested to me a while ago on this topic was, for the business owner to hire a student to shadow them for 6 months or so, and then just write down everything they did and start to build the written processes that way.
That works. I think one of the things I've seen work really well is just is just get a Google site up and have everyone in the business just document their day-to-day processes.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it in a way that is really the warts and all reflection of what actually happens and not this nirvana workflow that isn't actually real. But yeah, the art in this stuff is actually extracting the business processes from a business with no processes. And then it doesn't really matter what platform you put it into. The most profitable part of the thing is actually having the processes.
That's right. So in terms of your business, what do you see as the biggest challenges for you right now?
The biggest problem with the industry that I see, and where Infusionsoft is on a spectrum of, it's used for people that are doing information marketing and selling online products, and it's used for service-based bricks and mortar type businesses, and everyone in between. And we work more in the bricks and mortar end of the spectrum of Infusionsoft rather than the online stuff. And the problem that I see with it is such a blank canvas that unless you have a really, really clear strategy and really, really clear outcomes, it gets very overwhelming and very tangled up very quickly. So what we're working on doing and what we've been working on doing for the last 18 months now is building packaged solutions for business industries. So, if you're a broker, there are 7 campaigns that you can pretty much pick up, turn on and run with, and they're going to get you a return on investment. But what we were doing 2 years ago was we were basically reinventing the wheel every time we worked with a business, and it was just too expensive and too clunky, and it would take too long to get buy-in. So I think that's the real challenge. This stuff is out there and really powerful, but there aren't standards, there aren't best practices, and there aren't roadmaps yet. And that's the thing that ultimately causes a lot of people to fail when they pick up something like this and they don't actually get it working.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should take a step back, actually. I'm kind of making a presupposition here that everybody knows what we're talking about in terms of Infusionsoft. So maybe you could just explain the tool a little bit for those that perhaps aren't familiar with it.
Oh, okay. All right. So Infusionsoft is a CRM, which is a way for you to store customer information or contact information. So it might be customers, it might be prospects, it might be vendors and partners. But with modern CRMs, so as compared to sort of your old spreadsheety type thing, they will have automation built in. And Infusionsoft allows you to build with a drag and drop canvas workflows that are live and dynamic. So if you need to build a form to put on your website, you could build a form in Infusionsoft. And when that form was submitted by someone on the internet, a record would be created automatically in Infusionsoft in the CRM with all of the information they entered into the form already populated. And if you had a thing that said, whenever someone submits, say, this contact form, create a task for me to get back to this inquiry, then you would see a task pop up on your dashboard for this new person. So Infusionsoft and tools like Infusionsoft, these modern CRMs, are like a spreadsheet of all your contacts, but far more elegant, and a platform like MailChimp, which you can send emails, and a web form landing page builder. So in a sales and marketing sense, they become a way for you to capture leads and market to them and convert them into customers. But if you take a step back from that, you can see that the same processes that allow you to capture a customer allow you to fulfill on a customer too. And so it becomes like a skeleton for your business and a way for you to take those processes, which hopefully you've written down, and turn into a workflow. Last week we had a whole bunch of schools, so music schools and drama schools, extracurricular schools, come in to do a workshop. And the sorts of things they were doing with Infusionsoft was, when someone becomes a new customer, capture all of their, their music teacher and lesson and time and day of week and instrument, and then send the parents some emails, send them some texts to remind them that their lesson's tomorrow, and also create tasks 2 weeks later for the team to call the parent and make sure everything's good. And all of a sudden, this little onboarding event kicks off a process that runs automatically, and that's that's the power of these tools, and that's what these tools are all about. Mm. And that's what we consult in. I hope that helps.
We did something last week for a business coach who was putting together a leadership program, which was a marketing thing, but it's, you know, there's a landing page at the front end of it that sends just an email and a name to Infusionsoft, populates that, but then puts them in a campaign where they're sent some further information as follow-up, and depending on what they do with that information, so if they, there's a bunch of things in the follow-up emails that might be whether they're interested in one particular sort of training or another particular sort of training, and depending on what they click on that email, they're then sent to a different place in the process. So it's conditional, and they'll get specific tailored information to their interest, which to me, that's the one of the really powerful things within Infusionsoft.
It's very powerful. One of the most powerful things we did was for a non-bank lender that has 3,500 mortgage brokers selling their mortgages. And we created a system that looked for people checking the rates. And if someone checked the rates, we could assume that they were working on a mortgage and perhaps comparing products. And what we would do is at that moment, we would send a text message to their BDM, because there are 13 BDMs managing 3,500 brokers, and say, hey, Christy has jumped on and checked the rates for this kind of loan. Give her a call. And so what it meant was that the BDMs would see that flag, pick up the phone and say, hey, just calling, checking in. Is there anything I can help you with? So all of a sudden, instead of 13 managers trying to speak to 3,500 brokers at the right time, the system told them when the right time was and they could act on it, and became very, very, very efficient very quickly.
Mm. And you could turn that around the other way too. And I mean, I've just had a personal experience like that. I don't know whether it was I don't think Infusionsoft was involved here, but I could imagine you could have an alert come into the brokers when the banks change something. So if they know Jürgen's on this particular bank and this particular product, when they see that change, they'll pick up the phone and call me or the other clients on that and say, hey, we can change something here that will put you on a better deal.
Oh, absolutely. The client facing stuff is never ending.
Hmm.
Brokers are such a good model for it, but won't ramble on about progress and automation.
Yeah. So what's your sales process then? How does yours work?
We don't do any paid marketing. And we've been at capacity for 3 years now. And the business problem we have is finding staff. My sales process, there are some brochures online. And basically it all ultimately ends up with a book an appointment for a sales call, type thing. All I do all day long is talk to businesses about models and opportunities. We've got a team of staff now that do the implementation.
Okay.
So basically, I talk to a lot of people, and some people are a really good fit for Infusionsoft and other people aren't. And from there, they basically go into one of, really only five products. Which are all geared around onboarding them based on what their business needs are and the way that we're going to tackle it. But really the sales process is incredibly simple. It's usually just a conversation, a screen share, and that's about it.
Mm. So you show them the power of the product.
So you just go, look, this is, that's the thing. You just go, look, this is what it is. And some people get it and they're ready for it. That's the other thing. Oftentimes, we'll have a conversation and go, Here are some templates for campaigns. Go and build them in MailChimp. Run with that for 6 months. Do all this other stuff for your business, and then come back when you've reached these milestones. Because Infusionsoft is like a multiplier, and if you don't have great turnover, then your return isn't going to be that high. But once you've actually got a business and customers, and you know what your core product is, it's very, very easy to multiply it. So. Yeah, it's oftentimes a conversation, just finding out what stage of the business, what stage the business is at. And, if process automation is the problem they've got right now, or if they're earlier and they've got a sales problem, or if they're later and they've got an HR problem, and then working out how to deliver it for them.
Mm. Okay. So in terms of your business then, if you had a magic wand and could fix one thing today, what would that be?
In my business internally?
Yeah.
Probably staffing, to be honest. We've got we just have a really hard time finding good team members that are good communicators, so that they can understand what the customer's actually saying, and good translators and implementers, so that they can take those concepts and put that into a workflow. So we typically work. We seem to find people that have come from a small business office admin background. They've worked in the trenches for a while, are really good fits, rather than perhaps the IT nerds that you'd expect a company like mine to hire. We can teach them the IT, but the soft skills are much, much harder. So probably staffing is the first big problem. Secondary to that, it's just the day-to-day. It's the taking the time out of the business to work on the business problem. Mm.
Yeah.
But I think that's the same old story.
Yeah, you have to just have to set aside time for that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It's been good. In the last, in the last 18 months, we're very, so there are two directors, and between the two of us, we've been very clear about the division of labour. And since we did that, things got an awful lot better. So now I don't really have anything to do with the day-to-day running of the business, or, you know, working out the profit and loss, or line managing staff. I just get to do business development and sales and speaking, and that seems to work really well for me because that's what I love doing.
Yeah. If you don't love doing it, you shouldn't be doing it, right?
it takes an amazing amount of time for people to realize that. Like I one day went, you know, I'm really not good at getting back to people on the detail and implementing the detail. I'm really, 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 really strong at strategy. And so I went, hang on a second, I can just hire people to do the detail work. Mm. It's not that I don't have attention to detail, it just doesn't excite me to get in and do it. So, yeah, the power of actually realizing what you enjoy doing instead of just slogging through everything.
Mm.
Whereas my partner is absolutely a numbers person, wasn't a lead athlete, is very, very numbers driven, is very precise. So he's well placed to actually run the business.
Mm.
So that's good.
Okay. That's a good match, yeah. And what you said earlier about communication and understanding the customer problem, I think, you know, you look at something like Infusionsoft, and yes, there's a lot of technical stuff in the back end that you know, I find a challenge at times, but it really is about understanding what it can do for the customer and then implementing a solution that actually addresses that, which, you know, brings that communication thing up as the most important thing to actually get on top of, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I like to say it's like sitting in front of a piano, having never played piano, without sheet music and a teacher, and hoping to put more than a couple of notes together. It's absolutely insane. You'd never do it. But if you have sheet music, or you have a plan, or you have a song that you want to learn, it's very easy to note by note teach yourself. Don't tell any of my musical clients that. but then we understand that concept, but we see people looking at that blank slate of Infusionsoft and just being totally overwhelmed. If you know what you want to do, why you want to do it, then you can work out how to do it fairly easily.
Hmm.
But people kind of get overwhelmed because they don't actually have the why drilled down first.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I think it's time to move on to our innovation round, the buzz, as I call it, which is designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask you a series of five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire everyone and help them to do something awesome.
No pressure at all.
None at all.
Absolutely no pressure.
So the first one is, what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Accountability. I think if the client actually has a really clear why, then when you get sort of caught in the weeds, it's easy to take it back and keep them focused. So we actually do a fair bit about getting clients to bring their A game from the first sales call, and how we frame the relationship they're going to have with Benelds. So we set the expectation, and that seems to work. It's much harder to retrospectively try and keep them on track if you set an expectation of mediocrity. So we very much have a, you know, if you're going to work with us, you know, we are the best in the country, and there's a reason for that, and you've got to keep up, or you know, all your projects taken off the top of the list, and we can't allocate resources to it, which sounds really brutal, but it's exactly how it is. It's great to be coming from the position of power that we come from, which is, you know, if you want to play with the big kids, you know, you put on your big boy pants.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's awesome. I could probably do with that for one or two clients where we struggle to get content, and they say, why isn't the website live?
Huh. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we say things like, every day that you're late getting copy back to us, we'll add 5 days to the project. Because if you're a day late, I've already scheduled my team in for what they're doing tomorrow, so they can't do your stuff when you have it ready. They have the time to do it when we've scheduled that. So, you know, yeah, if you're late a couple of times on copy like you're talking about, then that website simply won't be up.
Yeah.
And if they're okay with that, it's okay not to do your homework.
All right. So
sounds very brutal when I say it like
it
that.
It does, but yeah. What's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Just do something. If you have an idea, test it. I see a lot of people talking about doing something for 3 months, which becomes six, which becomes 12. And the fact is that with all of the tools that we have these days, there's absolutely no reason you can't do a test. So if you have an idea, you know, you might have an idea for a new product. I'm not so fan of minimum viable product, but I like the idea of minimum viable marketing. Let's see if anyone's interested, and to throw up a landing page and see if anyone bites is really empowering. But I see a lot of people just sitting around for 6 months and wondering if it will work. So to me, I think the number one thing is just simply take action, and then dynamically assess what comes out of that action.
Yeah, that's great advice. And also it comes back to holding yourself accountable too. I like the idea of put up a landing page, and if people start to sign up for it, well, then you better get to work on building the product, right?
Yeah, look, we do these workshops once a month, and they're 3 days, and we've done them now. Oh gosh, we've done them for over a year. We've done them for 15 months. And that was a case of going, hang on a second, you know, we're quoting these big projects, and then we do this back and forth over email, getting assets together to, you know, build the website or whatever. What if we just got people in a room for 3 days? Would that work? You know, would that be a great way to pull content out of people and to get their hands dirty? And so we threw up we built a product in Infusionsoft. Like, I don't mean we built the product, we built the order form. We said, you can buy this workshop. It was dirt cheap, and we sold it out in 3 days, and we put on another date the next week, and it was a January workshop, and we were selling it in November, and so we had 6 weeks to work out. I mean, we'd worked on enough workshops already for Infusionsoft, so we had a pretty good idea, and selling it made us work out how to deliver it. If we'd sat around and wondered about building a curriculum and creating the workbooks and everything else, we never would have launched.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
The old school vaporware Bill Gates of the 1980s model, but it still holds. You just do something and let the market get you to get your act together.
So maybe you've covered this already, but what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
Yeah, I guess I have covered it, but here's something else that we really deliberately did in the early days, was we were very mindful about working with people we could learn from. So our A-class clients, so when we were looking to, you know, who are we going to work with, because we quickly got quite busy, was, and you will have to forgive my swearing, but this is this is it for verbatim. First is we've got to be able to learn about business from them. The second was they've got to be a good potential referrer. And the third was they've got to not be a dickhead. And if they met those three criteria, we would work with them. And so very early on, I was spending 40 hours a week working with, you know, someone that had been writing the small business column in the Fin or the Australian for a decade, or someone that was one of Australia's biggest non-bank lenders, or someone that was the best strata manager in Australia. So if you have people, I'm an expert at software, but they were experts in business, and they taught me things that I could then translate into my industry and then kind of regurgitate out into other businesses. So I think exposure, do whatever you can to be in front of not just people that are like you, but people that are better than you. And that will give you the ideas much more than trying to think of new ideas will.
That's great advice. I like the way you kind of strategically set that up. All right. Now, the next question on my script is probably redundant, but I'll ask it anyway. So what's your favorite tool or system for improving productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
Not Infusionsoft.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it's just, I think it's the cloud. Mm-hmm. I think just having stuff up in the cloud, whether it's in Xero, I use Evernote all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Me having a way of capturing all of the little tidbits that come past my brain and being able to put them into some sort of structure, and then I can see how they all come together and that then becomes something. But that starts with the ability to really quickly capture it and to be able to find it easily. So, you know, if I had that kind of buried in my laptop, I'd never see it again. So, you know, being able to be, you know, waiting to get on an aeroplane and pull up, you know, a Google Drive doc on my phone, or be able to work on my book on my laptop, that's the biggest thing. I think that's the thing that makes people productive. And I think sometimes I see businesses that have still got desktop-based software, and I think, like, they literally have to go into their office to see the health of their business. They literally have to be in their office to be doing work, and I just think that's just not a good way of doing it. So yeah, but I do also love Infusionsoft, of course. But I think just succumbing to the cloud is the first thing that you can do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot that enables within Infusionsoft as well. But you're right, the ability to. I mean, the classic example for me was transferring my own accounting stuff into the cloud, because I used to use QuickBooks, and then I'd send the information to the accountant, and then they'd do their stuff and send the reconciled accounts and updated accounts back to me, and inevitably it'd be on the next version of QuickBooks, and then I'd have to update the software, and then, you know, then the files would get out of sync. And
And meanwhile, I'm standing at Sydney Airport flying to Phoenix, and I'm taking photos of the receipt of the sushi that I bought in Expensify, and that syncs to Xero and does my reimbursement straight away, and does a running tally of what I've spent on the trip to the US, and already assigned it to the right, you know, the right category. So, It's just night and day. It's ridiculous. And I can engage a bookkeeper in the Philippines to do everything for my accountant for the end of the year. So now, you know, at the end of each quarter, I don't have that, oh, crap, have I done my BAS problem, which everyone seems to. It's like, oh, that's just done. That was done because I was taking photos of receipts as I went along.
That's right. There's one location where the file is. It's not sort of, you know, corrupted data or something.
Yeah. So it's that's what I mean about succumbing to the cloud, of just going, you know what, it's just got to be online. And I mean, I probably every 3 months throw a glass of water on my laptop and have to get a new one. So it's great that I can trot down to the Apple shop, pick up a new one, turn it on, and it's my computer, you know. So it's all that sort of stuff. I think that's right now the most important thing for small businesses is just to be online and take advantage of all of the small business tools that are available, Infusionsoft being a small part of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. You've reminded me of an experience a couple of years ago. We were in Europe and my laptop hard disk died, and I thought, oh gosh, what do I do now? And so I went out and bought another laptop, and within less than an hour I was up and running.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's cheap insurance, isn't it? You just kind of, you don't even have to think about it.
That's right, yeah. All right, so on to the next question in the buzz. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Pick a niche.
Pick a niche.
Niching is scary, but you know, every time we've niched with a business, the bottom line is literally doubled. So you know, we were scared about going from being a small business automation house to being an Infusionsoft house, and when we did, you know, the business kind of doubled, and then we went from, you know, Infusionsoft everything to just selling events, and it was really scary when I had a client on the phone. To say to them, I'm not going to scope your project. You can either come to the workshop and get it done, or you cannot, but I'm not going to write you a quote. Scary, but the business doubled again. Now we still, now we do implementation again because we've got staff and we can, but I just all too often hear, you know, I'm a personal trainer or I'm an accountant. And I just think, like, if you were an accountant that specialized in, you know, fast moving consumer goods or, gosh, I don't even know, then all of a sudden you speak directly to your clients. You know, if you're a personal trainer that specializes in preparing the bride for her wedding day, then if the bride is looking at you or four other personal trainers in the area, you're the only one they're going to pick. So
that's right.
To me, like, I think it's just you need a niche that is 1 inch wide and a mile deep. So that's why we have the vertical solutions that we do, because, like, we do Infusionsoft for everyone. Our niche is very much the size and age and proactiveness of the business owner and that kind of stuff rather than an industry. But we're certainly going down the track of having solutions by industry, because then we can say, yeah, we do Infusionsoft for schools, or we do Infusionsoft for mortgage brokers, or we do Infusionsoft for orthodontists. And that's a very different conversation.
That's right, yeah, and it comes back to what we were talking about earlier about communicating with the customer and, like you say, speaking their language and understanding their very specific needs within their niche.
Yeah, and it's a very, very powerful place to come from, because as my friend Peter Moriarty from IT Genius said at lunch yesterday, when you can explain their problems back to them better than they can, the sales conversation is over. It's not about price or value or anything else. It's simply that they have to work with you.
That's right, yeah. And the amazing thing is, it's for a lot of people, it's counterintuitive, because they feel, oh, we're going to miss out on something if we
absolutely.
Go broad. But like you say, every time you've niched down further, it's actually grown your business massively.
Hugely. The other thing is too, you know, we work very closely with the Infusionsoft community here in Australia. We run the big Facebook group and we mentor a lot of other certified partners, because we believe that if Infusionsoft's the gold standard, then everyone kind of wins. We shouldn't be competing with each other, but we should be creating a great community so that, you know, the community is better than the Entreport community and so on. But one of the things I get often from them is that they've had this $50,000 or $100,000 project come past them for a business that's on the big end of Infusionsoft, and that is a huge project, by the way, guys. But what happens is they want to say yes because it's such a big, sexy piece of work.
Yeah.
But that client becomes this absolute ball and chain that means that they can't win little work anymore, and they're absolutely invested in that one client, and they basically become that client's dog's body and don't add, you know, they're not empowered anymore. So it's again having the balls to say no to the big stuff and going, you know what, this is what I do and I do it really well, and I'm not going to get sucked into big sexy projects that are going to completely take me off mission. And I'm just going to stick to my niche.
Yeah, that's great advice, so really appreciate that. So what's the future for you and for Benolds?
We're going down the path, like I said, of getting into sets of solutions for particular industries and particular verticals. I want to see this small business automation landscape shift a little bit, and I want to make it a little bit more accessible, because right now it's for the people that are really, really invested and are really proactive and really switched on. And I think for the main market to benefit, it needs to be easier to adopt. So that's what we're really working towards deliberately right now. Yeah.
No, that's great. So do you expect any impact from the Internet of Things and what's happening there on kind of this space of marketing automation?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fascinated to see what social media channels bring to it, where marketing automation seems to be very much existing in the world of emails and text messages, and probably in the last 6 months has come into targeted Facebook marketing based on particular audiences within your CRM. But that Facebook thing is really new, and I'm really fascinated to see how we go from having the conversation over email to having an automated conversation over Snapchat or having a conversation over Twitter, because I don't think that anyone's really done that well yet. And that, I think, will be the interesting thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scary thing, because that's the thing I don't know. And I don't know where it will go, and I don't know where to position us to be ready for it.
Mm. Yeah, it certainly opens up fascinating possibilities, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun. But yeah.
All right. Well, finally then, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and in innovation?
Gosh, just constantly be learning and be mindful of the sources of your knowledge. I see a lot of really, really good information out there, but I also see with the internet, there's no peer review anymore. There's no editorial. It's really just a lot of vomit to spew on the online world. So I think find yourself really good mentors, whether they're one-on-one mentors or people whose books you read. Be mindful that there are a lot of pretenders out there, and do the homework and vet the people that you are taking advice from. But to me, it's all about just the constant pursuit of knowledge and constantly learning. And just realizing that there's always something else that you don't know.
Yeah, that's good advice too. So you wouldn't recommend Wikipedia as an authoritative?
Well, at least it's peer reviewed. I think I'm probably more saying, you know, I think there are a lot of business coaches out there these days who really don't have any runs on the board themselves, who like to tell people that it's all going to be okay, but don't really have much more value to add. And then, you know, you kind of get on the other end of the spectrum with the Gerbers and the Gary V's and stuff who really have demonstrated consistently that they know what they're talking about. And I think it's probably more about that there are people who are selling, you know, the latest course, but if you do a little bit of research, you see that that's the content that Gary Vaynerchuk gave away for free 6 months ago. So if you actually get to the font of the knowledge, you are far more ahead of the game. It's funny, we go to the US twice a year, at least, and it sort of always baffles me, the consultants that don't, because we're sort of on the edge of the earth here, and there becomes this sort of Chinese whispers chain of knowledge where I see things that were talked about, you know, on stage a year ago, now being part of the speaking circuit in Sydney, and you sort of think, well, you know, if you want to really get into this stuff, find out who are the power players and get it from them directly.
Yeah.
So that's being very down on the coaching industry, I guess. But to me, if you're going to continue to learn, the missing piece of that is be mindful of who you're actually learning from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably because I was an academic for too long.
That's great advice as well. Well, thank you, Christy. It's been really fascinating to talk to you today. I've certainly learned heaps. I hope the audience has as well. So where can people reach out and say thank you?
This is really terrible, but I'm not not really so much on Twitter, yep. Not really so much on Facebook, but the best thing is jump on the website and you'll see all of our contact details there. So if you want to shoot me an email, I always get back to people. And of course, always love to talk to people about businesses, even if your business is absolutely not a fit for Infusionsoft. I just like talking about strategies and models. So yeah, jump on the website, which is benelds.com.au, and get in touch.
Okay, thanks for that. And we'll have links to the website and to your email, if we can find it there, on the blog post when we put it up.
Cool. No worries.
And so finally, who would you like to see me interview on the InnovaBuzz podcast in the future, and why?
Oh, that's a really good question.
That's how we got from David to you.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I've just gone completely blank. There are quite a few people. Probably put you in touch with Peter Moriarty from IT Genius, because he is absolutely switched on when it comes to getting seed businesses and small business moving on their processes. He's quite a player. Probably Peter Moriarty. I'm just trying to think if there are any fantastic customers. Oh, also probably Ozzie Pisano from Guardian Strata. He recently won a Microsoft Small Business Makeover because of his innovation awards in industry, and was on a series with Koshy, a web episode series, about 7 different episodes. So maybe he would be interesting for you to have a chat to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Peter and Ozzie, keep yep. your eyes on your inbox, and we'll be coming to get you courtesy of Christy.
Awesome.
All right, well, thanks again, Christy. It's been great to spend time with you and learn about your business and get your insights today on the InnovaBuzz podcast, and thanks so much for generously sharing your time.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for listening to me ramble on.
No, it's all been right. Thoroughly enjoyable, and I've learned a lot.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Christy as much as I enjoyed speaking with her. There is a lot of really useful information in this interview, not the least of which is getting really clear about your niche, getting your real processes clearly documented, and of course, how the cloud can help you be more productive. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/ Christy Hamilton, that is CHRISTIEHAMILTON. All lowercase, all one word, no funny symbols or anything, innovabiz.com.au/ Christy Hamilton, for all of the links and everything we spoke about in today's episode. Christy suggested I interview Peter Moriarty from IT Genius and Ossie Pisano from Guardian Australia on future podcasts. So, Peter and Ossie, keep your eyes on your inbox for an invitation from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Christy Hamilton. To my audience, thank you for listening to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We really appreciate you. We'd love to get your feedback, because not only does your review on iTunes or on Stitcher help the rankings of the podcast, but it certainly gives us information from which we can improve what we're doing. And we're always looking to do things better. You can review us at iTunes or Stitcher, and while you're there, please subscribe so that you'll never miss a future episode. Until next time then, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.